So save your hate for Saturday. Kelly Stauffer is on the call on ESPN2 for Nebraska and Purdue. The 2:30 kickoff. The depth chart is out. Really no change. Deontay Williams is still listed. He's not going to play this weekend, or it's expected that he's not going to play this weekend, that Miles Farmer will be first up. This will be a stretch for Nebraska before the next bye, where Cam Taylor-Britt can make some more money. Cam Taylor-Britt has been better the last 2 weeks. Now he gets an opportunity. David Bell, a talented wide receiver for Purdue, who Nebraska shut down in 2019. In 2019, he had 7 catches for 23 yards. Well, he had every game since then where he at least had 60 yards of receiving or more, including 11 of the last 14 where he went over the century mark, until Wisconsin completely shut down Purdue, 6 catches, 33 yards. Cam Taylor-Britt, the next 2 weekends, will have an opportunity to make a little bit more money, matched up against Bell, and then next week, Olave and Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. Nebraska, in the final stretch, Karloftis, the defensive end for Purdue, is a first-round pick. They've already seen Hutchinson, who is a first-round pick. Olave and Wilson, the talented wide receiver duo from the Ohio State offense, which is just blowing up, they are first-round. And then Linderbaum, the center for Iowa, is a first-round pick. But for Cam Taylor-Britt, the next 2 weeks are going to be pretty important, and Purdue will have to find a way to get David Bell going again. It was a simple game plan for Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, sneakily, is that a word, Josh? Sneakily?
Yeah.
Wisconsin's going to win the West, aren't they? With all of the warts and ugliness of how they play offensive football, they're going to win the West. They have Iowa at home this weekend, and they are, I think the last check early this morning, I saw they were a field goal favorite. Now, the total for that game is like 36.5. But Wisconsin is just kind of hanging around, and they have run the ball well for the last 3 weeks. They only threw it 8 times against Purdue. They still won a football game in which they were 1 of 11. Purdue lost a game in which their opponent was 1 for 11 on third down. But Wisconsin had the game plan that works for them. They get a lead, and they run the football. And for Purdue, they never led in the game, and they abandoned their running game. And so Wisconsin was able to get to the quarterback. They sacked O'Connell 4 times. They sacked Plummer 2 times. And Purdue couldn't run. I mean, not many people are running on Wisconsin, period. But Purdue ran the ball 18 times for only 30 yards. And Wisconsin won for, what was a 15th straight time against Purdue. Purdue is the program where I think Jeff Brohm's a good coach. He's already used his get-out-of-jail-free card when he fired Diaco. And, you know, he's gone through a couple of different defensive coordinators. But they're really good defensively. I mean, the 9th in the country in points per game that they allow. But Purdue looks good 1 week, like their win in Iowa City. And then the next week, they are befuddling, trying to figure out, how did they lose to Wisconsin? It's kind of like the moment when Brohm jumped onto the national scene at Purdue. Remember on the primetime game a few years back where they beat Ohio State and everybody loved what Purdue was doing? They had Rondale Moore. They were exciting to watch. Here's a basketball school that's doing well at football. What happened the following week? Well, during the course of that week, there was a lot of discussion about Brohm may go back home, may go back to Louisville and be the head coach there. What happened the next week? They go to Minnesota and they get crushed by a Minnesota team that had P.J. Fleck had just made a change, a significant change on his coaching staff. And Nebraska's a 7-point favorite. And I know when that came out yesterday, you're going, whoa, Nebraska's a touchdown favorite at home. Now, the total has gone up to 57. Does Nebraska seem like a touchdown better than Purdue? Is Purdue in the third week of Iowa, Wisconsin, is it physically and mentally going to start to wear on them? Maybe. But the mental part, Purdue is still in the hunt, even with that loss. They are still in the mix, but they're in a stretch where after they get done in Lincoln, they've got Michigan State and Ohio State. If that's the case, the best case scenario for Nebraska coming up on Saturday is, can they for the first time, I shouldn't say for the first time, can they find a way to get started quick? Going back to a question I posed earlier, things in the last 4 weeks with Nebraska football that inspire confidence, or at least make you go, that looks different. Is this football team capable of grabbing a lead and expanding a lead? Not playing from behind, but grabbing a lead and not giving it back. Don't need to put a Northwestern out there, but grab a lead and go from 10-0, 10-7, 17-7, something along those lines. If that was something that you saw over the course of the next 4 weeks, that would be encouraging. But especially this Saturday against a Purdue team, that they're going to quickly want to make up for what happened in the past. If you're Nebraska, you put your early start struggles in the past and you get off to a good start, your scripted plays, they turn out like you want them. They end up in the end zone. They end up with points. I mean, Nebraska, you want another thing to inspire confidence moving forward is Nebraska can't leave points on the field. Are they able to put that struggle in the past? Is there anything that says in their DNA that they will be able to put that struggle to bed, that they're not leaving points on the field? When they get into the red zone, they're able to cash in, not come up empty. Not everything's going to be a touchdown, but not go into the red zone and have nothing happen. I think that has to happen early against Purdue, because Purdue has a lot to play for. And this will be the thinking probably in West Lafayette this week. Oh boy, here is a loss against Wisconsin, freshly ranked, and it's going to derail the season. First 15 minutes will tell you a lot, I think, on Saturday. Does Nebraska have it in them to not abandon the running game, run the ball, get a lead, and then expand that lead, not dance around with Purdue? Still play a tight game, but give you the feeling that you're in the tight game where, oh, you're up 7, you're up 10, but boy, it feels like a lot more. This is a Purdue team. You can't go, oh, well, it's Purdue. Purdue and Nebraska are kind of similar. And in my West Division power rankings, I have Purdue as the fourth best team. I have Nebraska as the sixth best team. By the way, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Purdue, Illinois, Nebraska, and Northwestern. It's happened in the past. Oh, it's just Purdue. Well, Purdue's beaten Nebraska 2 of the last 3 times, and over the last 6 they played, they're 3-3. But this just feels like you hit Purdue early, you say, look what we did in the bye week. And you win a game by a touchdown or a field goal. A little bit surprised that it's a touchdown. But it wouldn't surprise me if Nebraska won by a touchdown. All right, 11:19. Head coach speaks coming up at about 12:30. Mike Schaefer is down in Lincoln as well. We'll check in with him on what the vibe is like, what the enthusiasm is like for the final 4 games, for this game in particular. What will be the reaction coming off the bye? The reaction should be, look like a team that worked on the bye that had a good bye week. Coaches had a good game plan. They had plenty of time to think about it. And a tweak here or there that looks a little bit different. Looking just at the depth chart, the only tweak is there is a new right tackle in Borkature, whose brother plays at UNK, I believe, is the backup at right tackle. That's the only new name that I see on the depth chart. 11:20, there's Josh. I'm Gary. We're back with more after this.